surprised by the fuss the media made over this?
I have to admit I was surprised. I expected a lot of science controversy, and I had my mind thinking about all the pros and cons of the science, but I was taken by surprise by the media fuss. And it wasn't my doing. I was asked to attend that press conference, and I didn't promote it, but there it was.
With the Pars, wouldn't you expect a broader spectrum of Pars from decaying light bulb brothers, about 4 or 5?
There are cases where these very simple Pars are produced somewhere in the diagenesis cycle. These are non-alkylated Pars. They're very simple structures, and there are some papers where people have documented these in diagenesis. Diagenesis is just the early changes after a plant dies. It's the early changes.
Yes.
I'm not a conspiracy theory, but it's just interesting how it's all if just at the same time as the they needed money for the Mars project.
Yes, I've been accused of that many times. In fact, we even before we announced this, we already had a commitment to a pretty good Mars program of two robotic missions a year for the next 10 years. And so what we're seeing, the launch that we see, had already been in the pipeline for that. And we've been accused of timing our announcement to go with the budget cycle. Well, the budget cycle essentially goes on all year long. Part of the cycle is every month or so. So no matter when we published, it would be part of that budget cycle. So again, I'll deny any conspiracy.
Is there anyone trying to look more closely at the supposed microfossils for more structure like cell wall?
We're trying to do that, and we have managed to cut some of those in the desert varnish, to cut them up and look at them in the transmission microscope to look at their cross sections. And we did that mainly to develop the technique. We're now going to the Mars rocks, and we're going to try that. It's a very tough thing to do, but I think we have the technique underway now. And I think other groups may be doing it as well. It'd be very important, absolutely. Also, in the transmission scope, you can get better chemistry of what's inside.
What further studies can you do on the particular sample you found the elements?
We can do an awful lot of studies. I've talked to a number of scientists in Australia who are interested in working on it, and we're talking about things like trace elements in those carbonates, look for zinc, which might be indicative of life, look for phosphorus. We're talking about detailed organic analysis. We only analyze the Pars. Pars are only 1 or 2% of the total organics in this, according to the British. And so what we have to figure out is what the rest of the organics are. We think they're amino acids, but we need somebody with the sophisticated equipment to start to do all that. So yeah, there are a lot of things to be done, and I hope that some of the Australian groups get interested in doing this.
Question there.
On Earth, some magnetotactic bacteria use greigite instead of magnetite, but they live in a rather different oxidation environment to the magnetite producing ones. So isn't it rather
Yeah, I agree that we have a fairly complicated assemblage of the greigite and the pyrrhotite and the magnetite, and I think it is possible for using something like biofilms to change the redox environment over very short distances, and You know, that's just the hypothesis. But I think the fact that all three of these minerals are secreted by bacteria is maybe trying to tell us something.
What are we?
How big an area did the Viking spacecraft look at last time, and what sort of area was it? And with the future Mars spacecraft, what sort of area they planned to look at?
Well, the Viking landing sites were picked to be flat and safe, and they were essentially out on the on some big plains. They could only see up close. They could only see with the camera a few tens of meters from where they landed. They had no way to move around. So most of our information is on two widely separated spots in just a few meters and in tens of meters in diameter. There's something about the soil of Mars that is unusual, and it appears to be highly oxidizing, and that plus the UV may destroy any organics near the surface. That is one reason that we have proposed that the stuff we're seeing comes from subsurface, possibly down in this groundwater that I talked about earlier, but maybe many, many meters away from the surface. That's my speculation, that there may still be bacteria on Mars in that groundwater area, and I base that on two things. One is that I've had many biologists and paleontologists tell me that once life gets started, it's really hard to kill it off entirely. It will evolve and move into other ecological niches if the environment becomes unfavorable. That's one. That's kind of a theoretical reason. The other reason is that the British have analyzed the other meteorite, the one I called the Rosetta Stone, and found that it contains a lot of organic material as well. And it is only, it is much younger. It is only about 170 million years old, and left Mars only 600,000 years ago. So if that is life in there, then we have a very wide time span when we have evidence for it. And if it's that wide, then the extra little bit to the present is certainly conceivable.
Up the back, yeah.
At the start of your talk, you mentioned water on Mars originally. The bacteria that you're proposing, is that, would you imagine that requires water to survive?
I think so, yeah.
And following on from that, the rock sample that you brought, is there any evidence of water in that?
We have found evidence that there was water in that rock. We have found a hydrated mineral called smectite, which has water in its structure, and which is an alteration product of the other minerals that you get by simply adding water and heating a little bit.
Are there any probes that are going to drill beneath the surface of Mars?
I'm agitating to try to get that. So far, no. The alternative is to go to an impact crater, a fairly fresh impact crater, and pick up some of the ejecta that may have been blasted from some depth in the recent past. And we're sort of looking around to see if we can find that kind of crater. But, you know, it's really difficult with a robotic mission to drill down 1 or 2 meters, let alone 100 meters, which is, I think, sort of where we have to go. That would be possible once humans go there, but that's a long time off.
Take two more questions, one here, one up there.
Well, NASA has plans to send 10 probes within the next decades. Russia has plans to try and get them off the ground.
Yeah.
Rough idea of what they're going to try and do when they get there. 10 years is a long time for them to try. said they're going to send it here.
Well,
what are they going to do when they get there?
Yeah, I think two things in general. And one thing is to really pin down the geology and the environment of Mars, and particularly find rocks that could have harbored life, like limestones or deposits from lakes that are dried up. Find those, which you can do by remote sensing and orbital photography. And then the next best thing is to send a sampling device that will return a small sample robotically to the Earth. Once you have a good area, which will take a few missions to find, then the plan is to send a sample return in about 2004 or 2005, and then there are two more sample return missions right now that are penciled in to follow that, one every couple years. So the plan is to first find a good area and then go and bring back samples. And the reason we have to do that is, if you think of what I explained, what we did here, and how complicated that is, there's no way that you could do that with a remote robotic probe. These instruments, some of them are is half as big as a car. You have to bring stuff back and use instruments to really pursue these questions.
One last question.
Do you think the Martian equivalent of a Martian wasteland?
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
Do you think the Martian probe may have landed in the Martian equivalent of a wasteland?
I think so. I think that's true to some degree. But I think no matter where you land on Mars, you would probably not find organic material or organisms at the surface. It's just too hostile an environment.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think I should cut questions off there. I know there are a few more people who would like to ask them, but time is getting on. David, from the questioning you've received, it's an indication of the interest you've generated. I'd like to thank you very much on behalf of everybody.
Thank you.